morning to the 7th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 7. We have some vacancies here. Some of the folks who went to Florida, Fred and his wife, I think there's some still to go. I think Darris is going, aren't you, Darris, or not? So, those of us remain, let's be faithful. See, Joyce, we're glad that she's recuperated, feeling much better, I'm sure, able to be out with us. We thank God that He helped her. I want to talk to you here this morning about the Savior and a sinner. The Savior and a sinner. Over here in the 7th chapter of the book of John. And I'll start there at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired of the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus would eat with him. Well, he has just finished speaking to some of these Pharisees, or if not to them, about them. They had their doubts as to John the Baptist. And our Lord told him, says, "For I say," in verse 28, says, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And all the people that heard him, and the publicans justified God, agreed with God, saw their need, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Now, one of the Pharisees, he was one of those, I'm sure, that rejected the counsel of God against themselves. One of those Pharisees desired him, the Lord Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And it says there that, "Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner." Now we have the Savior and we have a sinner. Now I want you to think for a little bit about this woman. That says that this is testimony concerning her, "Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner." Now, this woman had heard that the Lord Jesus was going to be at a certain place, and she made her way to that house. She had heard him out there in the streets. Now, this woman, in all probability, from what's said about her, she had spent the biggest part of her life in sin and unfulfilled lust, having gone from one lover to another lover, unable to quench her inward thirst, unable to satisfy the longings of her soul. She makes her way into the streets, hearing that the Lord Jesus would be there teaching the people. And she hears the Savior. She hears what He's got to say. And I think, and I'll show you later, I think that what she heard You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And here's the Savior in the streets preaching to the people. And she heard what he had to say, and it become music to her soul. And so she, as he departed, and she heard that he was going to be in this Pharisee's house at meat, she made her way there. It says, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, when she heard where he was going to be, she's been inquiring about him. Something had taken place out in the street. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ affected her heart. Done something for him. Mysterious as it is, done something for her. He probably didn't lay no hands on her. Maybe never, humanly speaking, seen her in the audience, although being God, did see her. And anyhow, she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house and brought a alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with tears and did dry them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, which invited him to his house at meat, one of the Pharisees that had rejected the counsel of God, wisdom is justified in her children, and the Pharisees never justified God. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe the message of John the Baptist. Neither did they believe the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, this man, he saw this woman. And when he saw it, about what the woman done, when he saw it, he spake within himself, said within himself, he said, this man, the Lord Jesus, if he is a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. She's a sinner. Now, Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he saith, Master, say on. Verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, these two debtors, he frankly forgave them both. Now he said, Simon, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, see thou this woman? This woman that had heard him out in the streets and had sought him, asked questions, where's this man at? And she found out that he was to eat at this Pharisee's house. She made her way there, and we've seen what she did. God had done something to her heart and her soul while she was out in the street. He'd done something there. There was something mysterious that drew her to the Savior, because it's evidenced by what she done. She was weeping. She washed his feet with tears. She wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. She kissed his feet and she anointed them with the ointment. And this Pharisee questioned our Lord about her. She's a sinner. Everybody knows she's a sinner. She has went from one lover to another. Her lusts have never been satisfied. If this man, if he knew what kind of a person she was, he wouldn't entertain her. He wouldn't have her in her audience, in his audience. He said, now, he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, he said, you see this woman? I entered into your house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, Simon, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Now he's still talking to Simon. He says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Now they were forgiven when he spoke to her in the spirit while she was out in the street. Now, before he tells her that her sins are forgiven, he tells Simon that her sins are forgiven. She said, wherefore I said unto thee, unto Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. In what he's doing for her, he's preaching to Simon here, regardless of how great a debt that a man owes, be it great or be it small, that does not do away with the fact that both of them are sinners. A great sinner or a little sinner makes no difference. It does not do away with the fact that both of them are sinners. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now he says unto her. You remember he said unto Simon first, her sins are forgiven. Now he says unto her, thy sins are forgiven. They were already forgiven, but he just cements that now. Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Well, from what I've read here thus far, I draw this conclusion, and I think you will too, that sinners have nothing to offer the Lord Jesus Christ. They have nothing to bring. They have no goodness, no merit of their own that will bring them the favor of God. They have nothing that will open any door to the presence of Almighty God. Their good resolutions will not help their case. That is, promising to do good. That will not help their case. Their promises to do better are to no avail. The reformation of their lives, reforming themselves. Quit doing this and quit doing that. Whether their reformations are great or small, their reformations are altogether worthless. I'll tell you why. Because the natural man is guilty, he's lost, he's full of sin, and his soul is sick in sin, And the Bible says that while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. So sinners are without strength. They are without strength to obey God's law. They are without strength to love God. The Bible says that the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they are without strength to please God in anything. Now, they are without strength to love God, for the carnal mind is enmity against God. They are without strength to do any good thing in the eyes of God. A sinner is that way. So, the Lord Jesus Christ brings this truth that I'm trying to relay to you here this morning. He brings this very truth before us in this verse that I read to you in verse 42 of this 7th chapter, which says, "And when they had nothing to pay." And when they had nothing to pay. That is, when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. When they had nothing to pay. Now, he's illustrating, I think, here to Simon, this Pharisee, that whether we feel we owe a great debt or not so great a debt to God, that has nothing to do with the matter. That the fact remains that every sinner is in debt to God. That is, he is head over heels in debt to God, and he hasn't got anything to pay. Nothing to pay. Whoever he might be, big or small, rich or poor, moral or immoral, religious or irreligious, nothing to pay. It says when they had nothing, absolutely nothing to pay, God forgave them both. Now, the word that we need to concentrate on is the word nothing. 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 What is nothing? Nothing is a thing that doesn't exist. That's what nothing is. At least that's what Webster's Dictionary says nothing is. A thing that doesn't exist. When they had nothing to pay, you haven't got anything that exists in yourself that could pay the debt that you owe unto God. And when a man comes to the place in realization and understanding that he absolutely has nothing to pay, then he can do business with God. Well, let me talk about that just a little bit. The sinner doesn't have anything to give. Nothing to bring. Nothing at all. As a matter of fact, this business of God saving sinners is, in these words, is everything for nothing. It's everything for nothing. It is life, it's eternal life in your soul that shall live forever and forever with God and His Son and the Holy Spirit in the place that God hath prepared for them. It's so great and glorious, only the half has been told. It hath not entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for the sinner. The sinner who's got nothing and gets everything. He gets everything. He gets God. He gets the Son. He gets the Spirit. He gets heaven. He gets to live forever. He's made perfectly righteousness before God. All his debts are paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. He clothes him in a perfect righteousness. And God views him as though he'd never sinned. He gets all that for nothing. For nothing. Nothing to pay. It's everything for nothing. So if we can understand the word nothing, it'll help us here. This is one reason why that sinners do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. They don't come. Why? Because they do not believe they are as bad off or as in bad shape. They don't believe that they are bankrupt before God and before man. They don't believe that they need as, they don't believe that their needs are as desperate as God says they are. That's the reason they don't come. That's the reason. They still feel that they can do something. It may not be much, but I can do a little something. No, you can't do anything. It's when you come to realize that you have nothing that you can bring, nothing that you can give, nothing that you can say, nothing that you can feel. It's when you have absolutely nothing that God will forgive you. But as long as you've got something, you won't come. It's when you are reduced to nothing. They still feel they can do something. May not be much, but it's something. Something to qualify them or make themselves fit in some way to come. They don't realize that God has already qualified them. They were qualified for God's salvation when they were born. They were born in sin, conceived in iniquity. They were born sinners. Every one of us this morning was born qualified for God's salvation. We were born sinners. There's no getting around it. That's what qualifies you. You've already been qualified. Quit trying to qualify yourself. That's what men do, try to qualify themselves. Trying to find something that I can do for God and pay Him. Pay my debt. You can't pay your debt. You haven't got anything to pay. You haven't got nothing. Well, they suppose that they can do something, or they suppose that they can bring something to measure up to that standard. They feel they must contribute to something. After all, there's nothing free in this world. That may be so, that there's nothing free in this world. But there is something free, and that's God's salvation. That's God's salvation. It's absolutely free. You cannot buy it. Come without money, without price. Come and drink at the fountain. When they had nothing. When they had nothing to pay. That's all. That's all he required. One owed 50,000, the other owed 5,000, and they was bankrupt and didn't have nothing to pay. And when they had nothing to pay, He frankly forgave them both. Isn't that something? That's God's salvation. Oh, listen. They feel that they got to contribute something. After all, there's nothing free in this world. And really and truly, they reject and refuse the person, and they reject and refuse the message that they have nothing and can bring nothing or can contribute nothing. They don't understand or feel the force of the word nothing. And until they do, they'll never experience the salvation of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is suited to those who have nothing, to those that have no money, to those that have no price. The gospel of God's salvation is suitable to them. You see, there's no money in the market of God's salvation. No money involved. It's nothing. It's without strength, with nothing to pay. Does not the Bible say that over and over, that there is none that doeth good? No, not one. There's not a good thing that the natural man can do that would please God for a second. Not one thing. He hadn't got anything. It's up to him to admit in his heart that I have nothing to bring. And he's qualified when he has nothing. Does not the Bible say in Genesis 6 that every imagination of a man's heart, or every imagination of the thoughts of a man's heart, is evil continually, not just a little bit. The gospel is that you believe in Him. That's what the gospel is. To depend upon Him. That is, get out of yourself and depend upon Him and Him alone. Quit looking in yourself to find something that you can bring that will entice God to show mercy. You haven't got anything. Admit that you're nothing. Admit that you come empty-handed. Nothing in the hand. That's the gospel that's suitable for sinners when you haven't got nothing. Well, I don't feel guilty. Quit looking in your heart trying to find guilt. You are guilty, whether you feel it or not. You're a sinner, whether you know it or not. God says you're a sinner. You can't evade that. The gospel is that you believe in Him. Depend on Him. Trust in Him. Get out of yourself and depend upon Him and Him alone. You're guilty whether you feel it or not. As a matter of fact, you and me are more guilty than you could have any idea of. We are so guilty. Huh? Oh, come time. Come time because you are guilty, not because you have been prepared to come by looking at your guilt. You don't have to look at your guilt. You're guilty. You come to Him and Him alone. Get out of yourself and come to Christ. That's what He's talking about. Don't look at your own guilt. Don't trust anything of your own. Anything you've got, don't trust in it. Trust in Him and Him alone. I've never seen Him, but I know He's there. I know it's right. The Bible says that God is God. God sent His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life. I believe that. All my soul, every fiber of my being. I believe that. I believe that. And I believe He alone is the Savior. I trust Him. Not because I feel guilty. There's sometimes I don't feel guilty. There's other times I do feel guilty. Sometimes I feel a need, sometimes I don't. That has nothing to do with it. I'm a sinner. I'm a hopeless, helpless sinner. I'm ragged. I'm penniless. I don't have anything. Nothing to give. Nothing whatsoever. He doesn't want anything from you. Our Lord doesn't want. What would God want from us? He doesn't want anything from you. Oh, if I could just... Oh, I'll do better. I'll do better. I'll start doing. I'll try to do better. I'm going to quit this. I'll quit that. God doesn't want anything from you. He didn't want anything. Nothing. Nothing. Abandon all those things. He doesn't. He gives. He gives work and He gives feeling. Regardless of how ragged and penniless and what a pauper you are, He gives. He gives feeling. Just as you are. That's the way He wants you. With no good feelings, no good hopes, just as you are. Does not the Bible say, all the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that comes to me, alone, as he is. Not as he thinks he is, but as I say he is, a sinner. If he comes to me, I'll never cast him out. Come! Because of what you are. What are you? You're a sinner. The Savior meets the sinner. Salvation for the sinner. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul, he said that the gospel is worthy of all acceptation. Let me read that in 1 Timothy, I believe it is. It says the gospel is worthy of all acceptation. Where's that at, Pat? 1:15. It says this is a faithful saying. This is a truthful saying. This is a faithful saying and is worthy of all acceptance. Worthy of our acceptance. That Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came to save sinners. The door of mercy is open. There's no restrictions. He says, come as you are, a sinner. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Come as you are, as a sinner. You're a sinner. You say, well, I don't know I'm a sinner. Well, whether you know it or not, you are a sinner. Whether you know it or not, you're a sinner. And the only place that you can find hope is coming to Him. And He says, all ye that are heavy laden, burdened down, all ye that are that way, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Savior, meet the sinner. God help us to see that. Alright? He said to her, He said, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. They're all gone. Think of that. A sinner, here's a woman, lived all of her life trying to satisfy her own vile lust. Couldn't find any satisfaction. Came along one day in the province of God, and there was the Lord Jesus Christ. And He heard, and she heard what He had to say. He preached the gospel. To saints and sinners alike. To publicans, to Pharisees, to sinners. To whoever was there in the crowd, He preached the gospel to. And she heard Him. And faith cometh by hearing. And she believed Him. And she made her way to him. And she couldn't get enough of him. And the tears she was weeping. She wept so much that the tears gushed forth from her eyes and fell upon his feet. And she fell down on her knees and washed his feet with her tears. She loved him. She loved him. Dried his feet with the hairs of her head. Gave her the alabaster box. Boy, anointed him all over. Wonderful picture, isn't it? Simon said, "Well, if you knew who she was, if you were a prophet, you'd have known who and what manner of woman this is. You'd have known she's a sinner." Well, that's who God came to save, sinners. Simon, you didn't do anything like this woman done for me. Well, you didn't offer me no water to wash my feet when I come in here. She's a sinner. And when they had nothing to pay, she didn't have nothing to pay, and you didn't have nothing to pay, I don't have nothing to pay. I don't know of anyone that does. We don't have anything. We're just sinners, and we're qualified. And whoever comes to that place, that is bankrupt. And the demands are great, but he hadn't got anything to pay. All he's got to do is admit to God, "I haven't got anything to pay. I'd love to pay if I had anything, but I don't have anything. I'm bankrupt." And he frankly forgave them both. And he'll do the same. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Meet again this evening.